know you're just desperate for it, you know. Aye, so we are, Alan. Aye, right, okay. Anyways, I say, a bit different. Today we have, just one verse of scripture that we're going to look at, but a couple of different voices sharing on it. So this morning we're going to be hearing from Betty, from Ewan, and myself. We'll come to that shortly. So, each of us, as I say, looking at the same scripture and the relevance that it has for each of us. The particular verse that we're going to look at is found within a larger section of the Gospel of John, and this, in chapters 13 to 17, are referred to as the farewell discourse. These are Jesus' final words of reassurance, of comfort, and encouragement to his disciples when they were together in the upper room before his betrayal, his arrest, and his crucifixion. The scripture is John 16:33. Thank you. We're going to keep that up for during the message, just for reference to it. It says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Okay? In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The first thing I want to mention is to clarify that there's sometimes a myth that goes about that obstacles will just disappear because you're a Christian. If only, says you. I actually appreciate the reality of these words, where it says, in this world you will have trouble. Christianity is not just some airy-fairy, pie in the sky, make everything better, here, pat in the back, and that's you sorted. Christianity is very real, which is why the words of Jesus have stood the test of time. It's why they're still as relevant today as they were when he first spoke them back to the disciples back then. You know, there isn't a human being alive on this planet who isn't acquainted with troubles of some kind. Times of difficulty can arrive unexpectedly. Some troubles remain indefinitely for some. And then there's the sorrowful memories that can take deep root in our minds. So we find what we need then are the words of Jesus to take deep root in our hearts, to help us, to sustain us, to comfort us, and that he would truly be the one that would sustain us during troubled times. I'm going to ask Betty to come up now and share her words of wisdom. No pressure.
Alan stored my plan this morning. To me, this reading was interpreted that Jesus was preparing the disciples for his own death when he said, "I'm going back to him who sent me." John 16, verse 1. Then in verse 16, "In a little while you will see me no more." In verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, we will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now, while there has been turmoil in the world today with this COVID pandemic, it has brought with its tragedy and heartache for some people more than others, what with deaths, mental health issues, People afraid to go out of their homes when they have felt imprisoned for many months. People torn from their families and never knowing if they were ever going to see again. I feel we have gone far away from peace of mind and contentment. A subject the pastor's sermon on Sunday the 22nd September. This brought back to mind a poem I had been asked to write at my writer's group so many years ago when I lived in the beautiful borders. The title of this poem was As of the Same, Peace of Mind and Contentment. I searched through some papers when I went home and found there it was, 1997. Peace of mind and contentment. No towering blocks to mar the sky. Wide open spaces meet the eye. Green fields, woodlands, sparkling streams, a place that answers all my dreams. A cottage in the country, where honeysuckle arch the door. Wildlife roam the woodlands. Who can ask for anything more? As a city slicker, I left behind the noise and bustle for peace of mind. Here, the rape fields gleam in golden splendor, rich fertile land wherein I wander. A childhood dream now realized, my Westies bumping by my side. Darkness deep when night befalls, a barn owl's hoot, a pheasant's call, young deer forage in yonder field, lambs in springtime skip and reel, the grey heron flees the river bank, where pastures new and habitats stank, all this and more for you to find in my place of contentment and peace of mind. If we open our eyes, it shows the simple things in life lies within. The beautiful land we live in, our wildlife roaming God's earth, the trees, the wildflowers, the bird's song in your garden, a walk through the forest. Simple things we have lost focus of. Open our eyes and we'll see them. They're all there.
Thanks very much, Betty. We'll move this. Nope. You hold on to that.
What's that?
Move it up. Okay. You know, for different people, there are different things that help them find that peace of mind and contentment. But when you look around the world, look what God has given us. There's so much beauty, so much that he's given us that we can find peace in. And obviously, for Betty, I mean, that was written back in 1997. And this woman still holds on to that peace and contentment. You know, so it's all credit to her. And it's sometimes just the simple things that need to bring us back to that place of focus that God will use to speak to us. I'm going to invite Ewan to come up now. Thank you.
Hear me okay? Yeah. Like Alan was saying, being a Christian does not guarantee an easy life. Jesus tells us, in the world you will have trouble. He's preparing his disciples for the trials and the troubles that they will face. He doesn't want them to be under any delusion that their future ministry is going to be an easy and comfy one. doesn't want us to think that either. Paul writes in Second Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. It doesn't matter how long we have been saved or how good a person you are, you will have trouble in this world. This fallen world is full of poverty, pain, persecution, disease, devastation, death, destruction. There is physical problems, there's social problems, there's mental problems, financial problems. We can't escape it. And I'm sure a few of us can tick a lot of those boxes. But we can live in this world with all its problems, because Jesus has faced all the problems in this world and he has overcome them. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, said Jesus. Peace is found only in Jesus. Anything else is false hope. The peace we find in Jesus will withstand any circumstances. I myself had a few challenges and troubles over the last 2 or 3 years. I've had my own struggles, as I know a lot of you have, so I won't dwell on my problems. But through it all, Jesus has been in my corner. I felt his love, felt his peace. He's a Prince of Peace, and he is always true to his word. Jesus brings hope. He always brings hope. And I just want to say today, if you're going through challenging times, take heart. Jesus has took on your sorrow, your pain, and your weaknesses, and your sins, and he's nailed them to his cross. He has overcome the world, and he's in your corner. You're not alone. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting when somebody else looks at a scripture and, you know, I wish I'd thought in that you and said, he's in your corner. And I think sometimes it can just be a simple statement like that, to know that God is on your side, that he is in our corner. He is with us. He does dwell within us. And occasionally we just need reminded of that. Because it's the very thing that will sustain us when the times of trouble hit us hard, when we're struggling to get through things. Troubles can be internal, external, and even the result of spiritual warfare. Following Christ is difficult, and there will be opposition. Yet the reality of Christ's victory over sin and death as a result of his own death and resurrection provides peace and courage in the midst of opposition. So just as troubles are certain, so is Christ's victory. So is Christ's victory. In my own experience, I can handle most trouble that comes from outside the church when I've been described as that horrible little man from that church, or being called a liar, or things like that. It hurts. It hurts. But when you take things for what it is, don't allow it to run deep. That I try not to do, although the memory's still there. I can still remember it. But learning to reject certain things because people don't really know you, when they rely on assumptions and hearsay, there's very little you can actually do about it. Things like that will go on in life, and we will have to face times like that. But when trouble comes from within the church, that, for me anyway, is more difficult to deal with. Even although we know none of us are perfect, including me, I know, Grace is shocked, you know. None of us are perfect. And it's one of these things where we still have higher expectations of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we tend to think they should know better. They shouldn't be speaking like that. They shouldn't be thinking these things. They shouldn't be talking in such a way. We're all human. We all fail. We all come down to that place. So I've had my fair share of hurts and troubles, still do, from Christians, especially when you fail to meet the expectations of others. And recently a number of things have been highlighted to me that need considered. And I'm not saying that for pity, so please don't misunderstand that. This is about how we deal with troubles. The reality is, we all have them. We all have them. I'm no different from anyone else, as we've heard from Betty and Ewan as well. We all go through different things that are a challenge to us. When you think about how hurt do you think the disciples would have been when Jesus told them prior to this verse, the time is coming when you'll all be scattered and you'll run to your homes and you're going to leave me all alone. And if you were sitting there and you had a brother in the Lord say something like that to you, you'd be like, oh, no way, no me, as Peter did. And yet he knew what lay ahead. He knew the hurt. He knew the pain that was coming. And I'm sure that this would have been upsetting for the disciples to hear these words, which is why Jesus immediately followed it up with these words of comfort. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. He's, you know, being very definite, not hiding in. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. That's the word we need to hear. Take heart, because I have overcome the world. So you find within that one sentence there are two certainties. One is that followers of Jesus will have trouble. Let's not be naive about it. And the second thing is that Jesus has already won the victory. Jesus does not want any of his followers to be under any delusion that ministry or life would be full of ease and comfort. The phrase that Jesus uses when he says take heart is also translated as take courage or be courageous. This is all based on the completed work of Christ, his death, burial and resurrection. And therefore, you know, because of that, we are not called to overcome the world. But yet, we often act as though we do need to. So it's, you know, it's something that we have to do in order to overcome the world. It was Jesus who overcame the world. He did it for us. So that's where our answer lies when we turn to Jesus. He has already overcome the world. So all of us, we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. And it's the reality of this that we can then take heart, take courage. Anyone who claims that believing in Jesus brings, you know, you get all these things, financial prosperity, physical health, perfect relationships, hasn't he read their Bible? Life is tough. And the Christian life can often be tougher. The Bible doesn't avoid this fact. Instead, as we find here, it's actually acknowledged. Jesus did not say that he's going to eliminate trouble from our lives. Instead, what he promises is to give peace and comfort in the midst of trouble. Okay, so don't misunderstand. It's not that we're not going to have any trouble, but even in the midst of it, we have Jesus. We have him there to help us, to sustain us, and to bring us back to that place of peace where we find we cannot have any. And all too often we look for that peace and comfort in temporary things or even uncertainty. Perhaps in a relationship or a job, placing our hope in things that just do not satisfy. Christ calls us not to place our hope in temporary things, but to look to his eternal victory over sin and death. You know what? That's worth celebrating. That's worth giving thanks. That's why we worship together. It's an opportunity to express our thanksgiving to God, because that victory continues every week. Every week. So knowing that all the enemies, past, present, and future, have already been defeated, even death itself. There's nothing will bear a shadow on the victory that Christ has called us to live in. if we look to him, if we turn to him and allow him to sustain us. So we say to you today, be encouraged, take heart, be courageous, because Jesus has overcome the world. He is our hope in all circumstances. And as you know, we've all got lots of different circumstances going on in our lives that challenge us, that would distract us, that would take us away from our focus in God, because we get just so consumed by the other things that's happening in our life. Think, I can't face this, I can't do that, I can't go there. And God is saying, you know, Jesus is saying, listen, I've overcome the world. Allow me to give you that peace and that comfort, because that's what we need to sustain us, to help us. So it's about giving them thanks that we're actually not asked to go out and defeat the enemy. He's already taken care of that. But it's about believing in his victory, that we can and will know his peace as we look to him for what this world cannot give in times of trouble. Because I believe that all of us, we all need that real lasting peace. There needs to be something that we can hold on to, something that we can, you know, turn to that helps us and sustains us. Because we know in this world, yes, we will have trouble. There is no denying that. And I know that it would have been quite easy to get a lot more people up here this morning and share the fact that, yeah, they've went through troubles, they've had difficult times. But the whole focus is in the fact that, yeah, that's the reality of life. But on top of that, we have Jesus who's overcome the world. And what he wants to impart to each of us is peace and comfort. Something that will sustain us. Because out of that, we then have an overflow, an example, to let others see the reality of Christ in me. Christ lives in me. And out of that, hopefully, others will ask, why are you able to be sustained in times like this? What is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not me. It's no somebody else down the road. It's Jesus. So this morning, that's what I want to bring our focus to. Regardless of where you find yourself, you could still be in that place of fear because of everything that's going on with the virus, as we've heard through Arlene this morning, because of what could happen. But we need something in amongst that that sustains us, that helps us overcome the fear, that we can be the support, the comfort and the help to others, because the first place it comes to for us is through Jesus. So may his peace and his comfort be upon us all. May he be the one that sustains us in the days to come. Let's pray just before we close in our worship. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the reality that your word brings into our lives. And I ask, Lord God, that you would help us to hear your heart, to know that you understand exactly what it is that we go through in life, and that the desire of your heart is to help us, to get alongside us, that we would know and experience your peace and your comfort at this time. Lord God, be praised. Thank you, Father, that the victory has been won. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to be sustained, to live within that truth. Because you've shown it over the years, we can read it in many other examples and know that this is the truth, that Jesus has won the victory. So thank you, Lord, as we ask your blessing to be upon us and allow us to be in that place of peace and comfort, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite John and Arlene. John and, where's, there he's there. Craig, could you see you? Arlene, take your mask off, can I hear you? Sorry.